Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the In The Post podcast. We're going to be doing our NBA free agency special today. On my right,
howdy, it's John.
And on my left, who's in his flu game today.
All right, Sam.
Sam is battling through a flu. But we couldn't miss this. It's free agency.
Comes once in a year.
The most exciting and depressing time for a Mavs fan. Right, go straight into it. DeAndre Jordan, he's been, originally apparently he was 90-10 split on the Clippers, then Parsons asked him out on a date, took him to 5 dinners in 5 nights, they're my relationship goals, and apparently he's split now, he's unsure where he's going to go. Sam?
Due to recent events, it's looking more 50-50, but from a personal aspect, it's wound me up, this whole tampering thing. It seems like the Mavs are trying to tamper with this, with Mark Cuban coincidentally being in the same club as Chandler Parsons and DJ. It's not. It's very coincidental, but
no. That wasn't the biggest news story. It's not the biggest. It didn't really blow up, so maybe it was just a.
It was just a few little reports, but if that is true, it's technically it is tampering, and if there was business being discussed, but because of no proof, nothing can go further with that. But I find it very ominous. It's sort of like if I was to say to you, oh yeah, I'm going to separate you and your girlfriend, I'm not allowed to see you out in public together again, and you sort of go into the same club together and be like, oh yeah, we was in the same place, didn't see each other though.
Didn't see each other.
Yeah.
Do you think the tampering happens must happen all the time in the league? Let's face it, there must be so much tampering going on.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of had it, didn't happen, but like Chris Paul being his best mates with like Dwight Howard, and they both said they wanted to play together, that hasn't happened, but doing that sort of thing, Jordan's from Texas, and he's going to have that family connection. So that's all. They're going to want him getting down there. So it always is going to happen. Just different factors. And even things like Twitter, you know, so many little things.
Even on NBA 2K, you can tweet ex-pros and say, why don't you form a big three? And all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, as far as players go, Parsons taking them out to dinner and playing playing basketball pool and a swimming pool and things like that. So the players have been doing it.
Well, with the NBA, it's always a big circle. Everyone's got a friend in the NBA. Like, who is it? On the farewell, Boogie Cousins was saying farewell to Stauskas, sharing a quick exchange. So there's a lot of friendships formed in the NBA. But as soon as a owner gets involved, that's when the question's asked is, what's he doing there? If there's no business being discussed, why is he in a nightclub?
Yeah, he
would
be in a nightclub in LA for no reason, but
you can't prove anything.
No proof, and whether it happened or not, well, whether we even get him or not remains to be seen. Because the Clippers did bring in Paul Pierce, which was seems to be last night they did that, seemed to be a bit of a game changer. A lot of people seem to think DeAndre was for that, and he's going to be happy about that. And on the flip side, Dallas losing Aminu, possibly losing Barea to Miami Heat. Tyson Chandler went to the Phoenix Suns, losing a lot of these names, and DeAndre can look at bringing in Pierce, and then Mavs losing all these players and thinking, well, I can go there, I'll be with my new BFF Parsons, but who else is really there? And there's not much there.
Well, I think the Mavs have sort of sold themselves short here. They've been committed on this one sort of angle. They've not committed to looking elsewhere, so they've got all these plugs that have been left to be filled, but they're so concerned, they're so concentrating on getting DeAndre, they're not realising what's going on around them. And if DJ says no, you're in a place of just absolutely losing out.
Well, look at other teams. Phoenix brought in Tyson to try and bring in LMA. Spurs ended up actually trading Splitter and signing their own players. A few teams here and there have brought in players to think, look, we've got this medium fish that's to entice. Unfortunately, we thought bringing the big fish and that'll help the other fish.
Yeah.
The other players. I don't know why I keep on going on about the fish for. But the Wes Matthews, DeAndre situation, he seems to think Wes Matthews wants his $15 million. Whether he's going to get it because of his Achilles injury, we won't go into. But it seems to think DeAndre wants Wes and Wes wants DeAndre to be a part of the Mavs team. But Wes won't sign for 12 unless DeAndre signs, and DeAndre won't sign until Wes signs, I think. So they're in a real, you know, pickle. Obviously, you're a Clippers fan, Joe. How do you feel about DeAndre? I know you're not the biggest fan of his defense. You're just saying there's better out there. Yeah. But surely he's going to be crucial for you to keep.
No, I think he's quite easily replaceable. I don't really see the effectiveness of him going to Dallas is going to prove, really. I mean, you had pretty much exactly the same sort of player in Tyson Chandler, just obviously older and a bit more injury prone, because we know DJ's played so many
games. Iron Man.
Yeah.
We know that. But I think he's not going to do as well if he does go, because he is mainly relied on rebounds and the defensive end at the Clippers. The 10 points is a bonus, whereas at Dallas, I think he might be looked at as more...
He needs to get 20 points, he needs to get 30 points.
Yeah.
And that's not his strong point.
And that's not going to happen.
We'll be looking at 15, but yeah.
Yeah, that won't happen at Dallas. And where... I mean, the only people I can think of is Dirk and Parsons that are going to be able to score. So if you're going for this big fish... then you're going to have to get other people in if you want to.
You think he could possibly be a max player on next year's salary cap, on the current salary cap? You think that takes a bit too much of a chunk?
Yeah, it really does. I think he's easily replaceable. I mean, the only sort of upside is that he can get up for the dunks and the rebound. There's a lot of players like him. I think the Clippers compliment him a lot just because we don't rely on him for scoring.
They do... he's in the right situation to shine. I think Carlisle can get very good out of him, because, as I say, he plays very similar to Tyson, but younger and a bit more athletic. Obviously Tyson's better at free throws, but there's ways to get around that. Apparently in their meeting, Carlisle was impressed with his X's and O's, so whether he's got a basketball IQ Carlisle can work with, that'd be great. The meeting was apparently 4 hours long, so DeAndre seriously considered, you would never, the Melo meeting with the Mavs was 20 minutes, and this was 4 hours, so there's some relevance there. I think he's going to stay at the Clippers. I've just got a dreaded feeling. I think he's going to look at the Mavs squad and go, I'll say.
I agree with you, in the sense of, if DJ says no, or as it currently stands with DJ being on the fence, Dallas' starting five at the moment looks at Raymond Felton, it looks at Justin Anderson, looks at Chandler Parsons, Dirk, and Dwight Powell. At the situation where a lot of your players have gone, DJ's probably thinking, what am I getting into right at this moment?
Probably the in-prime player of the bunch. He's coming off a knee injury. So
yeah.
It wouldn't be good. Will he stay at the Clippers or go?
Yeah, I think the same as you. Just, you're going to look at the Dallas squad and think...
I'm going to win nothing.
He's not... In my head, he's not a LaMarcus Aldridge, and he's leaving Portland to try and get to a championship team. I don't really see why he would consider leaving, other than the money aspect and the fact that he's come from Texas.
Well, I think he wants more touches and more responsibility to then eventually be like that. And bringing in Lance and Paul Pierce, if they keep Crawford, they've got Blake and Chris Paul, Reddick will get his looks as well. DJ's not going to touch the ball. I mean, he barely gets his points at the moment. So he might look at that and that'd be a hindrance, especially with a player like Lance.
Again, if it could be a money thing, then he's probably going to go to the Mavericks. But if he wants a better chance of winning, the Paul Pierce and Lance signing solidifies the case as the Clippers advancing further on, like getting past the second round, finally.
DJ would get $4 million more at Dallas. They're only doing a four-year deal, so the five-year doesn't matter. And the no-state tax, it works out, they get about $4 million more. $4 million isn't a lot in today's contracts.
No.
You know, that's pennies these days. So, we'll see. We'll go on to LaMarcus Aldridge. Where's he going to go?
Well, from that Woj bomb we've just seen earlier.
Bomb.
Yeah. The Suns have got the cap space and Chandler's gone there. So, Aldridge won't be relied on as the rebound and defender, so he knows that he's got that.
Yeah.
And they've got a good backcourt as well in Bledsoe.
Very good,
Brandon Wright. So he could go there, but I'd still say the Spurs, just because I said in a couple of episodes ago that playing with Duncan would be any player's dream, but a power forward's dream.
That would be great. Duncan would probably play more centre, because they did trade Splitter to the Hawks.
Yeah. And with the Spurs, that's a guaranteed playoff place as well.
Guaranteed playoffs.
I mean, great run organisation, a loyal organisation at that as well.
I think the thing some people haven't considered that, I think, well, let's say Tony Parker didn't have his best year last year.
No.
I think a person where he can play off Tony Parker and LaMarcus Aldridge would play really well together. I think Tony Parker and LaMarcus would do really well. Pop didn't make any phone calls at midnight. He went to bed, got up in the morning, brushed himself off, put on his shirt, had a shave, re-signed Kawhi, re-signed Danny Green, traded Splitter, all before the LaMarcus Aldridge meeting, and apparently knocked it out of the park. So, for some reason I can't see him in a Spurs jersey. I have a feeling he's going to go to the Suns. Whether their trade has anything to do with it, I don't know, but...
Well, with what Joe was saying, the court of Bledsoe and Knight is a fantastic prospect, but when you get a chance to work under an organisation, a winning organisation as Spurs, you're going to jump at the chance, really, to learn under the greatest power forward, to play with a great starting five as it is. It's not, that starting five has not got a weak point. You look at Tony Parker, you look at Danny Green, look at Kawhi Leonard.
They're just so good.
Tim Duncan, that is a great starting five, and it's not exactly the bench of scrubs either.
They've kept their bench core as well. They've still got Manu, they've still got Paddy Mills. Okay, they've got rid of Splitter, but when they've got Duncan, Dio,
Boris Dio, LaMarcus Aldridge, Corey Joseph.
They're bringing out LaMarcus Aldridge. They are, you know.
They're a loaded team.
They're going to be better this year than last year, I think.
Absolutely.
Because Kawhi is going to be that 1 year better. He's got his money, so he has to prove something. I think Duncan's going to be just as good as he was last year.
Kawhi to me has got a lot to prove. That month, that contract, looking at it, 5 years, 90 mil. Not a bad contract, but he's got to play harder for it.
What are you saying? Offensively? Because defensively, he's in finals MVP, so...
Yeah, but again, did Timmy or Draymond Green could have had a better shot at that? Because when Kawhi was out for that first half of the season, the Spurs was literally relying on Tim Duncan to win games, and they were winning games, and he won finals MVP, but didn't really shut down LeBron, did he? Everyone says, oh yeah, LeBron didn't have a great playoffs. He still averaged 28-7-4 on 57% shooting. That's not really shutting him down. I think what the Spurs did...
But then on the other hand, you look at today, the last finals, where LeBron was going for 40 and getting constant triple-doubles.
Yeah, but...
He wanted to do that in the game Spurs.
The Spurs talk back to Golden State was... Let him get his offense, shut the rest of the team down, and that's what happened.
But Kawhi did that and kept him under 30.
But 28-7-4 is pretty much his averages anyway. 28-7-7 is his averages.
But in the finals, you were expecting LeBron to get more than his averages. Not with that his regular season cost. Averages.
I think yeah, you can't say that with a heat.
I think Kawhi. All right, he didn't get his averages lower. But LeBron wanted to do more, and Kawhi did a phenomenal job on him.
Yeah, if you keep someone to their averages in the playoffs, you've done your job.
Yeah.
You can't... Everyone increases by 5 or 6 points, one more rebound, one more assist, or say that. And he's Kawhi's sort of kept it. He's done a decent job. I think Udala showed a better job. But I think that had mainly to do with the fact that...
Different LeBron systems were run. Yeah, it was different systems were run. I think Kawhi may... I think he's worth his money on his current ability, but he's also paying for his future. Imagine what Kawhi is going to be like in 3 or 4 years on this deal.
Well, I'm hoping he becomes also a marketable player because defence, it sells now. It sells more nowadays.
Yeah.
But at the same
especially
time,
after Golden State.
Especially after Golden State. But when Tim and Manu retire, and if LMA does go to Phoenix, he's the face of that franchise now. So then he's got to keep playing to a consistent level to attract free agents to say, look, these guys have gone now, but I can still help the Spurs join us. So he's got to stay.
That's what I think you said about the organisation of the Spurs. He knows if he's going into that, he's going to get a constant flow of good players. Because the Spurs haven't, was it 17 playoffs in a row, Tim Duncan?
Yeah, something like that.
So he knows that that's going to continue because David Robinson was getting the playoffs, then Timmy D got the playoffs.
They've got Tony Parker, they get Manny, they got Kawhi.
And he knows. You know, if he goes there, he is going to become the face of the organisation, but the organisation is going to be able to get these players.
One thing he might be fearful of, if he goes there for a year and then Pop goes, and then it all crumbles. Because Pop is significantly, you know, I know the Spurs, you know, everything behind the scenes, they do everything perfectly, they do everything right, but Pop is kind of like the catalyst there. And if he goes after a year... And then Tony Parker goes, and then Duncan goes, and then Manu goes, and it's just Kawhi and Aldridge. Although they're still a very good team, it might not be the same. And maybe he thinks something fresh and exciting at Phoenix.
Quite possibly.
I'm not too sure. I don't think LaMarcus was going to Dallas. That doesn't seem any interest there. I did hear a thing about at the end of the playoffs, LaMarcus offered Marcus Gasol to come join him at Portland. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I think he's still got in his head about Portland. I don't think it's as easy as him wanting to go that everyone's saying. I mean, even the assistant manager said he expects LaMarcus to go, but he could get cold feet.
Yeah, and if these meetings he's had, if these meetings don't prove to him that he's got a better shot somewhere else, then he might not even go, really. Because Portland, they've been a consistent team to get playoffs the past 4 or 5 years with Aldridge and Lillard. So maybe if he... I mean, these places, Suns, if they do get Aldridge, they probably could make the playoffs next year. Spurs, we know, will make the playoffs. But yeah, Portland will be another playoff team next year, I think, if he stays.
It's going to be interesting. They brought in Aminu, which is a good addition. They've got that Lillard contract down, so he's staying for as long as they can. I think they're trying to replace players as quickly as they can because they realise if LaMarcus goes and they don't replace these players, they could struggle in the West to rebuild. So they're doing a quick job. LaMarcus Aldridge did say he was, and so is DeAndre Jordan, significantly underwhelmed by the Lakers' approach. Kobe's killer instinct is unfortunately killing his own franchise. I don't know whether Kobe did anything particularly wrong at the pitch, but his contract, I think, and his attitude, no one wants to play there.
Well, LaMarcus said he was happy with the presentation. It was just the basketball presentation that really let him down. So as an organisation, they impressed him, but basketball-wise, when Kobe was talking, completely lost him.
Yeah, it's not going to be interesting. But how do you think the Lakers approached it then?
I think they went in there and went, hello, we're the Lakers.
We've got an interesting city, we've got a nightlife, but it's like at the end of the day, it's about his job, you know, it's basketball.
But, you know, they must have a good presentation because Chris Paul wanted to go there a couple of seasons ago until that.
That's
blocked.
When they had a better team. That's when they
that's
had
when Kobe
still,
was a lot younger as well.
Was it Dwight Howard or did they?
No, they didn't have Dwight at that point because they vetoed the Pau Gasol trade for Chris Paul.
Oh, right, okay.
But yeah, they've still got that appeal, they've still got that draw, but now you're looking at Kobe coming off, well, he's still fresh from his Achilles injury.
And his knee injury.
And you're thinking, do I really want to rebound for someone that's going to jack shots up for the whole season? Like, in a non-offensive way, that's what Kobe does recently.
He's caring about the scoring record, just as he doesn't really care. He knows he can't get a ring, so he just goes for scoring. Who would you rather join, the Lakers or the Knicks? Because you know Kobe's going next year. And they've got Okafor and Randall. But then the Knicks have Phil Jackson and they have Melo. Melo for a few more years.
What? Okafor? What?
Do you even stretch though? It's D'Angelo Russell's, bro.
D'Angelo Russell, sorry. Yeah. Okafor's at the Sixers. They've got D'Angelo Russell, so they've got a future point guard. I mean.
Yeah, but again, I'll probably go to the Knicks. As I said the last episode, Russell's been tipped the most likely to bust.
Because of his usage rate.
Yeah, and with the Knicks, obviously, you still get the same sort of exposure as you do in LA. You've got Phil Jackson, who's better known as a coach than he is a president of relations, but you've got Spike Lee.
You've got
Spike Lee over Jack Nicholson, I'll take that.
You could get a new movie role, so even if you're flopping and not have a wrecked career, pretend you're injured at the Knicks, go on strike and just star in a movie. Sorted.
With LA, they've got a great legacy, 16 championships, not as great as Boston. But I'm going to just have to dig that in there. But at the same time, it's a franchise that's not looking any better, and it's not going to get better until Kobe's contract comes off the books. And when the cap space increases, then yeah, it'll look more and more appealing. But right now, it doesn't look like anyone wants to go there, and it looks like it's Kobe.
I think out of the two, the Knicks are in the East, and that would make things a bit easier. But the Lakers, I still think they have better attraction power because the Knicks don't get into the playoffs every time. But having the Lakers got 51 playoff appearances in 57 seasons or something, so that would have some relevance to me. I think I'd be maybe tempted to go to the Lakers because you have 1 year of Kobe and then you've kind of got a whole new fresh start.
Yeah, but that's how long is that fresh start going to be? 3 years of just trying to build your team up again?
But same with the Knicks.
Yeah, but Knicks have got Anthony's not old, you know, he's still
was
not
he 31?
Playing, yeah, he's not playing his best basketball, but he's still a great player.
But again, all season, he was injured last season, like pretty much throughout the whole of it, he was injured anyway, so he's come off the operation, so he might be fresh, so you've still got a lot of time in Melo.
Yeah, and you've got another, speaking of draft picks, can't remember his name there. Porzingis.
Yeah. I like the look of him.
Yeah, and you've got an exciting plan, a bit different from a lot of people. I'll probably go Knicks just because it's... Well, it's a bit...
Yeah.
An odd situation where Lakers, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get 1 year of Kobe shooting shots like nobody's business, and then three, five years of...
I suppose, originally I thought the Knicks, and then, I don't know, I just think sort of... I think if there were just a... Like, there were only two teams in the league, and there was just a free agent, I think they're looking at the history, they'd always go to the Lakers. I feel like attracting other talent, the Lakers have the edge over the Knicks. Woj did actually just tweet, the Lakers have expressed a desire for a second meeting with Aldridge. He's not going to get it.
LaMarcus has probably just looked at the phone, and he's gone, Lakers want second meeting. He's hung up straight away. He's not even read the full message. He's just probably put it away.
You're busy. Call back in a sec. Yeah.
Call back in 5 to 6 years.
Yeah. Oh. Right. Let's go through a couple of the other bits quickly. Hawks have a Splitter, Millsap, Horford, big rotation. Can it work?
Yeah, because Splitter's not a starter.
No. My peeve with this is originally Orlando offered Paul Millsap 4 years, $80 million.
Yeah, $20 million a year or something.
So
yeah.
That starting five, like obviously Millsap has gone for what he knows best, which is the starting five of Atlanta, even though they've just lost Amari Carroll. But he's thinking this is still an organisation that can grow, whereas Orlando is still at its sort of foundations.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Whereas I think Millsap could have shone more in Orlando. Because you've got rookies in Elfrid Payton and you've still got a young Oladipo. Tobias Harris, who's still developing his game, and Vucevic, one of the most underappreciated centres in the league at the moment.
Yeah. When the Magic are ready to take their push, I think Millsap's career would be winding down a bit. But it's good to be a vet on them sort of teams, I think. As I say, it's just good to be a vet on a young team that's full of energy that can help you and re-motivate you. But good decision, Sam, at the Hawks.
Wait and see. I think, like Sam says, going to the Magic would have been probably a better fit for him. But I think he's sort of stayed at the Hawks. Again, knowing they're going to have a good season. Whereas maybe he sort of thought with the Magic...
It's very unclear.
Yeah, it could be a good season, or it could be, again, similar seasons to the past two seasons.
Well, what's gutted me as well is I want to see Horford at the four.
Horford at the four. Yeah, he's natural.
He expressed so much desire to actually play it before, but now Millsap's like, no.
Well, I mean, he's a three or four-time All-Star at a centre position, so...
He's a great player.
He's good either way.
I think that's the thing with that, not playing the four, is that Millsap can't play the five. That's the thing with that mucks that up.
Another Woj bomb. The Lakers will get a second meeting. I'm shocked.
I bet he's sitting there looking at his phone and he's going, go on then.
The message has probably said, LA wants a meeting, and he's like, oh, the Clippers want me. Oh, sweet, I'm going. Yes, and he's like, yeah, Kobe said I'll see you in 10 minutes. And he's like, shit.
Already said I'm busy. Or he's just texted his phone and go, oh, I'm having a lunch today. I've been at all these meetings. Meet me at the steak restaurant. I want some, do you want some Kobe? Yeah, Kobe beef. I want some. Okay, well, Tobias Harris, I think he might be the Damari Carroll shooter.
No, Tobias stays. When Millsap was on offer to go Orlando...
They've got the money now, yeah.
Orlando did come out and say, we're not going to match Tobias. But now that Atlanta's got Millsap to stay, they're going to match anything, because there's...
He's restricted, yeah. Yeah, okay, he's likely...
Because the Boston fan base was really sold on Tobias, so I personally wasn't, but... Off East Saint Magic, it's a great future there, and it's a great young team they've got there.
Okay. A lot of deals got done that teams have stayed to their clubs, that we all expected. Dragic stayed at the Heat, $93 million over 5 years. That gives Wade a little bit of wiggle room to get his money. Anthony Davis staying at the Pelicans. Now, I want to talk about this, because if I was Anthony Davis, even though I'm not really happy with what LeBron's doing, the whole 1 year putting the franchise to ransom, but I think he should do that with the Pelicans. I think he should say, look, I want to win championships, I know how good I am, you'll need to bring in talent, you need to do it now. And he's shown loyalty, which I respect, but he's too good to be like KG and wait 10 years to try and get somewhere and then leave. He needs to sort of look like they get a piece, because they haven't even got a second All-Star in their team.
Yeah, but you say about LeBron, he was at Cleveland for, what, 6-7 years, and they got to the finals.
So they got swept.
Yeah, they still got to the finals. But, yeah, like, they know they've got to get better players. But that, you know, he's still young.
I think with Dose's situation, he's made it a much more attractive destination, whereas a lot of people, do you want to go Ohio play basketball? Do you want to go Cleveland to play basketball? If LeBron's having one-year deals, you're not really going to commit yourself to signing there permanently. Instead of, if you look at Anthony Davis, probably going to be one of the greatest power forwards to play the game when it's all said and done.
Injury
depending, and he's signed there for 5 years.
I suppose that's right, because if LeBron only signed a one-year deal, I would only want to sign a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Even though they've still got Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving and Tristan Thompson, so you tended to go there anyway. Butler stayed at the Bulls. Expected. I'm disappointed. I wanted him. Never expected to get him, but Lillard, he wasn't even expiring or anything, and they offered him a 5-year deal on max money, $120 million over 6 years or something. Is it something like that? Something stupid. Stupid money for a one-way player. Who didn't have his best year last year.
No, not worth it really. And especially you said his contract's not even expiring. You know, what's the point in that? You've still got another year or two.
You've basically given him ammo to sort of say, right, you've committed me for another 6 years now. I could have a garbage season next season. I could have come off an ACL injury next season.
Yeah. Then I'd be scrubbed. A panic move.
I think it's, I'm scared of... I'm about to lose LaMarcus. I'm probably going to lose Wes Matthews and Robin Lopez. Let's just tie them down while we've got the money.
Also, they can say, if they're getting other free agents, go, look, we've got this all-star point guard, all-star reserve point guard. We've got him for 6 years. You know, we're long-term. We're looking to do this. That does help. Chris Middleton stayed at the Bucks. Now, talking at the Bucks, they brought in Greg Monroe as well. Very good signing by the kid. Jason Kidd.
I originally wanted him at Boston.
Good
man, averaged 15-10-2 last season whilst being paired up with the second best rebounder in the NBA in Andre Drummond. So he is typically known as a one-way player, but I defended him a couple of episodes saying he is a five who's not been given the credit on defence because he's running about chasing the fours of the league. He's not exactly... If he's playing the five, he's going to body up with DeMarcus Cousins. He's going to body up with a big...
Spread. And let's face it, Monroe's defence isn't going to be exposed that much when they've got a very good defensive team in the Bucks. They've got a lot of length in their team.
Yeah, I'm happy with the move, but from a Boston fan base, I'm not happy with the move.
Yeah, at least he didn't go Knicks, eh? Sorry, Knicks fans.
Screw the Knicks.
The Bucks starting five. Michael Carter-Williams, Chris Middleton, Jabari Parker, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Greg Monroe. They need a new point guard. Yeah.
No. Carter Williams is still young. Fair enough, he gets turnovers, but that's a good team. All young players, similar to
what about the shooting in the team? Giannis isn't the best shooter.
But he's still Williams. Young. He can develop. Yeah. I'm personally not sold on him. I think he's a good player, but I think there's a lot of hype with Giannis. I'm not sold on him. I'm more buying stock in Jabari at the moment.
Jabari looks good.
Well, you see the top tens of the week and stuff, and it's always. Giannis is there,
every
and it's
week. Like,
but then you and then people probably think, oh, this guy must be good, but it's just the highlights. Yeah. Same with DeAndre, you think, this guy must be good. He's good, but he's not as good as he's made out to be.
He's 20 or 21.
Yeah. Well, people will be making out to be Kevin Durant,
not. Kevin Durant could always shoot. Luckily, all these people that are young can't shoot yet, they're part of a Jason Kidd's team. He's very famous for not having a three-point shot when he entered the league and developed into one of the better ones. So, maybe something can happen there. Okay, right. Last few things about free agency. We're going to go through a few different free agency destinations for people who still haven't been signed up. First one, Patrick Beverley. Where's he off to?
Start Houston.
So now Houston. They didn't say they were going to pay him a lot, but if they can't get anyone else, possibly.
Yeah.
Houston?
Yeah, that looks like the most likely. I mean... He's one of them players that can probably choose from a lot of teams if they want him. Like if the Mavs want him, because the Mavs
definitely... I think we've taken interest, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, I think he's one of them players that every team could use.
The Knicks?
Yeah.
Well, you got to think around the league. Point guards are not really predominantly known as defensive players. There's very few guards in the league, such as Marcus Smart, Tony Allen, Mike Conley. From the top of my head, those are the only sort of defensive guards I can think of in the league.
Yeah, there's a few others, but
whereas I think a lot of players will want him.
There's more Lillards than there are Beverleys in the league. Jeremy Lin. He's got to go back to the Knicks.
he's going Dallas.
Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me.
Mike Dallas Lin Sain. For Dirk, please.
Oh, it'd be terrible. It would be terrible. It's going to be the Lakers. No, right. Mo Williams.
I wanted him back at Cavs.
You want him back at the Cavs? There's been talk about him going to the Grizzlies.
Could fit in, but as we were discussing earlier, it looks like Memphis are picking up a more faster pace.
They got Brandon Wright in, so maybe just fast pace on the bench and slow ball Zebo Marcusol on the starters. That's a conflict of.
If it works for him, it's worked for him for the past few seasons, so stick to it. But
well, if you've got a team that's playing slow as anything, and then whistle goes, and then all of a sudden you've got a bunch of these Zoomy people, you're going to be like, what's going on here? If you're the other team,
it'll create a minute chaos. Ago,
And then you come and play slow again, and you get some team trying to rush it up on a fast break, and you've got Marc Gasol standing there like, I like that.
There will be a times when they rotate, though, when the Zebos and Marc Gasol will be on at the same time with a couple of the fast people, and they might not be able to...
No, Marc Gasol can't. I think the fast team with us, I think having that mix is a good thing to have two.
Oh, yeah, I'm not against it. It's just an interesting move. Same with Brandon Wright, because he's famous for being, a bit weak for his position. Even though he's lengthy and can get blocks. And he's going to a team like the Grizz, which are famous for battlers.
Mm.
So, that's an interesting one. I think Mo, again, Mavs, Cavs or Grizz?
Cavs for me.
You could put literally Mavs down for any of these free agents, except the next one. Nice segue, Rajon Rondo.
I was actually going to want to drop here and say take him back to the Mavs.
Oh my God.
I think that'd be brilliant. I honestly think it'd be good. No, Monte Ellis, you've got a predominant ball handler.
I can't deal with him. He gave up on the team, screw him.
Yeah, but he's one of those people that you need to give the reins to the team. And obviously, Rick being a great coach, top three coach in the league.
Top two coach in the league, mate.
Top three.
Alright, we'll fight about this later.
Yeah, that's for another time. But with Doc Rivers, he sort of gradually gave Rondo the lead, and then Rondo showed what he could do leading a squad. Whereas with Rick, obviously, he's got hesitations because his system was working. But as soon as you give Rondo the leash, your success develops. But that's why I think they sort of held him back too much there.
They just couldn't work together. We gave it a go, and we even gave it a second go when they gave it, had a little rupture. It's not going to work. He's probably going to go to the Kings.
He's probably going to go to the Kings, but
Boogie!
Kings, but I want him at Dallas.
Nah, Newcastle Eagles.
Newcastle Eagles.
Heard it first.
London Leopards.
Yeah.
Right. Jay Smooth. I think he's going to stay at the Rockets.
Agree with you. Staying at the Rockets.
Yeah, I don't know why though. I think you should go somewhere else.
Sacramento.
Could you go back to Detroit?
No, I wouldn't put him there.
Detroit have probably banned him from the actual arena or any practice facility.
I've got an interesting one. If the Suns don't get LaMarcus, they'll need a power forward. Could the Jay Smooth go to the Suns?
He could go to the Suns.
He could play a bit of fast pace with Bledsoe.
Yeah, he's predominantly a fast-paced player. Going from Atlanta, that was what his game was. It was fast-paced, get up the court, dunk. With Detroit, obviously, you've got forced to play with three, where he's predominantly played for four most of his career. So maybe it could work out in the Suns, but I just want to see some destruction. I think Jay Smooth would tear the Suns down.
Jay Smooth to Dallas, no.
To the Knicks.
Get it trending, Jay Smooth to Dallas.
Jay Smooth has either got to go... He could go to the Knicks. I think he'd work well in the Suns, actually. Tobias Harris, you seem to think, will stay at the Magic.
He's still at Magic.
Magic?
Yeah.
David West.
Okay, we'll go to David West.
David West came out and said he's only going to play for two teams, and that's the last two champions, San Antonio or Golden State.
He could replace David Lee.
I think what Knicks was planning to do was, if they don't hit the cap room... The cap floor, they're going to take David Lee as a just for his contract.
Yeah.
So I think David West could go to Golden State, but
David Lee's a good addition. I think he's really underrated.
Yeah, he's good. He's
a good player, but he just didn't fit Kerr's system. So I think he could still contribute to a team.
Oh, he's going to get traded. Rolo.
He's probably going to end up staying at Portland, unfortunately.
Boston.
I'd like to see him at Boston.
I could see him at Boston. I think he might go to Boston. I think Boston should make a push for him.
Boston were saying they're going to make a push for Rolo, Love and Pierce, but you know what Danny Ainge is like.
Unfortunately, you haven't got two of them, yeah.
Exactly.
Lou Williams, Joe.
I could see him staying. Was it Raptors?
Yeah. Raptors do have cap still.
Yeah, I mean, sixth man of the year.
Come undeserved.
They've got that consistency still.
Yeah, yeah. Isaiah Thomas deserved it more.
Yeah, he did, just for the playoff push at the end of the season.
Just for how they went from a trade deadline to where they ended up in the league, Isaiah just propelled that team.
Yeah. I think that's the thing with that sixth man, is they looked too much at the stats and they didn't know.
They didn't know the contribution of the team.
Yeah. Lou Williams is just literally a shooter. He did another Jamal Crawford, which they just look at points at sixth man of the year, and that's disappointing. I think Lou Williams, again, I mean, the Lakers and Kid Knicks, they need to fill their roster, so they can literally sign any one of these. I think staying at the Raptors would make sense. Amari Stoudemire.
Amari.
Suns.
Suns. I want him back at the Suns. Imagine that. Tyson Chandler.
He did a really
Amari good, and Bledsoe.
He did a really good job for Dallas when he came in. I was surprised when we first got him because of his reputation with injuries and his age and everything. He was being doubled from the first time he got the ball. They still have to double him. So it's a really good weapon. But I like him at the Mavs still. Portland, maybe, if they lose again to Marcus. Marco Bellinelli.
Philly! Take him, Philly. They've got too many bigs. Take guards. Boston, the opposite, we like, oh yeah, we'll take every guard that's available, but we won't take a big.
But going from
Philly needs to take a guard.
But, that's very true. But going from the Spurs to the Sixers, it's, you know, it's the distance.
Yeah, but do you want no money or some money? Do you want to play
the Sixers
basketball?
Sixers are playing, yeah, they've got the cap room.
Do you want to play in the three-point contest? Come on.
Would you prefer...
Do you want to win the three-point contest?
But would you prefer the Sixers or would you prefer New York?
If New York offer him, then
he's
he'll
Italian,
come to New York.
You know, he loves the...
Oh, the Italian Stallions from Philadelphia. Come
on. Oh, okay, he's got to be Philly. Now, I'll put this one last, because I think this guy's a good player, especially in the right system. Gerald Green. He's an unrestricted free agent. Back to the Pacers. They want to play fast-paced, small ball.
Could make a good contribution off a bench. I wouldn't mind seeing him at the Pacers, but I wouldn't mind seeing him at Phoenix, like just staying there.
Yeah, I liked him there.
Clippers.
There was talk he was going to the Clippers to develop the Rip City, but now he got the Lob City. Yeah.
But now we've got Paul Pierce and
the truth.
Stevenson, so I couldn't see that.
No room. Okay, so they're the kind of main free agents left. Not much, really. So if the Mavs don't get DeAndre, we really need to find something in that bunch.
We've not really covered LeBron, where he's going. He's a free agent.
I think Fenerbahce.
With Perro Antic.
he could do work there. He could probably win the chip.
Probably good.
Easy way to get another ready to lose a final again, wouldn't he? 2-5.
Dallas Sharp.
Dallas make a push.
Dirk goes to a German team just to play some Euro basketball against them. Right, so you have your little Boston chat. Now, Boston, they got in a player. They did actually sign someone so far.
They re-signed GG and they got Amir Johnson.
Yeah, so, I mean, your team, you still need a big. I think you should get Rolo.
Agreed.
What about Lou Williams? Would you work with Isaiah Thomas? I don't think so.
No. I think the way the Boston guard rotation is at the moment and the way they're developing the rookies, the guards are untouchable at the moment. They've got good prospects, but they need bigs. They really need bigs because I've not been sold on Sanja for a long time. He's had work ethic. So, for example, when you had the Portland game on the line for hustle play for the game winner, but Danny Ainge said to him, "You're out of shape."
He is. He got fat, man.
But he doesn't seem to have that sort of drive to want to improve himself, like the conditioning. You see him on an Instagram picture lately, but he's slimmed down a lot. But he likes his food.
He likes his food. Yeah, well, I'm sure Boston has some good pizza.
Well, at least like when Charles Barkley's playing, you know, he can back it up, but you know,
Salinger.
He's not been playing well.
Okay, so we're going to move on now. We've done our free agents for now. We're going to rest, relax, and just talk about some underrated players that you know, we feel like we deserve some recognition on In the Post.
Right, I'm guessing I'm going to go first then.
Yeah, well, I'm facing you, so...
So for my point guard, Patty Mills.
Patty Mills.
Patty Mills, one of the greatest player... the greatest player.
Goal, better than Magic Johnson.
One of the major contributors for the San Antonio Spurs against the Miami Heat.
Sorry, just imagine Patty Mills versus Jordan arguments on First Take.
Patty Mills 11, Jordan 9.
Yeah.
Need two Jordans for Patty Mills. But Patty Mills was a great spark off the bench for San Antonio. Miami had no answer for him in a sense because
they didn't expect
no him. One turned up.
Yeah.
LeBron was the only person that turned up. The whole of the team didn't turn up. So when you think, oh, we got an Aussie Patty Mills coming off the bench.
Hitting threes, getting buckets.
Hitting threes. Great player. Absolutely great player. Avery Bradley as my second guard.
Yeah, I think he's underrated as well.
When he came into the league, he was an average shooting guard, but he was a pit bull on defence. He hustled every play, he played every man tight, but when Rondo went down, he has to be moved to the one. So he's had to improve his shooting more, but every season he's shooting from two and from three has improved drastically.
Well, I did get this up actually. The year we've just had, he shot 35% from three. The year before, he shot 40% from three. So, you know, he's a bit, you know, 5% difference is a bit, you know, significant. But he did have a volume higher this year. He did shoot a lot more.
But when you got Marcus Smart, who come out of college as, he's another Avery Bradley, come out of college as, he's not a great offensive person, but on defence, and he's a great driver. But it seemed like Marcus Smart had no bottle this season to go into the lane. So it sort of was a driving kick more to Avery. So he's had to feel more pressure. So he's taken more of a veteran role because there's not really any veteran players on there other than Brandon Bass, so he's had to take the leadership of the Celtics.
No, he's definitely underrated. I think for $7 million as well, in today's market, seeing as everyone's on 15, I think he's a bargain. I really like him. I would love him at the Mavs. I think he'd do a great job. I think
hands off.
The fan base would take to a player like Bradley.
Sean Marion.
Matrix! Money. Shot was money.
You're right.
That's his shot, isn't it? Shot release.
Oh, I thought I was going to have to call an ambulance. So, Sean Marion, great defensive player.
But definitely.
Underutilised at Cleveland. They could have used a guy like that on Draymond, on Klay Thompson, on Iguodala, and it would have freed up LeBron, saving a lot more hassle.
Well, we could talk about this for real. I was livid that Marion wasn't getting minutes. Livid.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, again, from the Mavericks and even before then when he was at Phoenix, he was a great player, but again, he was never really acknowledged at Phoenix. You had Steve and Amari. Dallas, you had that power forward.
The power forward.
Some jump.
Well, I mean, Marion really bounced around the league. He was at Toronto, he was at the Heat, then he did very well.
The Toronto thing didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, he did well at the Suns, but the Mavs, I mean, his stats against every stage of during the 2011 run, the person he was marking, the stats when he was on him were massive percentages low. Underrated, definitely.
Serge Ibaka.
Go on.
Do you agree that he's underappreciated, underrated?
Well, when people mention like top three power forwards in the league, top five power forwards,
yeah,
he never gets mentioned.
He rarely gets brought up.
The thing is with him, he's underrated, but he's not overrated at the same time, but I think he could do such better because he's got potential. Yeah. It's like he is one of the better power forwards in the league. We know that. But I think he can be one of the top five which is where I think he doesn't get mentioned is because people expect so much better from him.
I don't think he uses athleticism as much. Because he did that dunk contest where he dunked from behind the free throw line, didn't he?
Yeah, he's
like, he was further than the Dr. J ones. And
the Jordan one.
And we haven't really, I mean, he gets some athletic blocks, but he doesn't really, like, use it the same way DeAndre Jordan uses his athleticism. So that's always an interesting one. And he's getting an obsession with shooting three-point shots.
Well, it's developed. And obviously last season he's had to take a lot more because the offence, you've had no Durant last season.
No Durant, yeah. And
Westbrook, you missed a little bit. So Serge has had to sort of step up a bit more. But he's developed his inside game. He's an athletic big who can stretch the floor, who can play both ends, offence and defence. But again, when you mention power forwards, it's usually Kevin and Blake that get mentioned above him.
Well,
whereas Kevin's more of a one-dimensional player.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. Like, if you say just to me, list off a load of power forwards, Ibaka wouldn't be like the first few obvious names I would go with. Where is he? Is he top 15, top 10, top 5?
I'd probably say borderline 4-5.
4-5?
Yeah, behind the elite, like Blake, Davis, Love, like Sam says on the defensive end, Love loses that battle easily because the offence does make up a difference. Yeah, but I'd say 4-5.
Well, then there's Aldridge. There's still Duncan, there's still Dirk.
No,
LeBron doesn't count, he's a small forward.
No, yeah, because of age, Dirk and Duncan...
They're sort of dismissed from a list, separate list.
I agree with that. Yeah. It's a bit difficult to put them sort of players on the mark.
Someone whose stock I'm not selling on.
Sorry to interrupt, last thing. It's one of them things that I think when you rate players, when people say, oh, Lamarcus is better than Dirk. Maybe at the moment over a course of an 82 game. But let's say you had a game 7. If you had a game 7, who would you have? Tim Duncan or let's say Serge Ibaka or Lamarcus Aldridge? I would pick the veteran that you know who is one of the greatest of all time in that game 7, because you know he can just ball out and he's reliable. So I would still pick Dirk over like LaMarcus Aldridge in a game 7, and I would still pick Duncan.
Yeah, I think with but that as well, it's just a case of
season,
separating
you need the, you know.
You need to separate those people because you can't really grade them anymore. As they're still playing at a great level, but you can't sort of place them among the current, because you'll always offend the legends by sort of saying Anthony Davis is better, but then there's no sort of explanation why people think he's better, because he's having a better season. So I think when it comes to top power forwards, with Tim and with Dirk, they're not included because...
You can't. It's the same with KG, because KG's very... But obviously we know how great he was. So...
Last one.
Currently, like, young players, I would say, Ibaka's around that 5 spot.
And someone's stock I'm not giving up on? Roy Hibbert.
Roy Hibbert.
I'm not sold on him.
Controversial, Mr. Unpopular.
I'm not selling my stock
gonna
on him.
Going to be a Maverick. It's going to be a Maverick.
I like Hibbert.
You like Hibbert?
I like Hibbert, yeah. He's one of the better defenders in the league. We know he's slow, but he's 7'2".
He's got a decent offensive system as well, like an offensive repertoire.
He does. He's good around about the basket, and he has got an okay jump shot as well.
He's got a good free throw and free throw percentage.
And people going about his rebounds, which is an issue, but he does get blocks. I mean, like... And he puts
off a lot of shots. I mean, that was the thing that people were saying about him. He can kind of get in the way and people are scared to shoot around him.
Yeah, but the thing is, he went from like... Did he get defensive player of the year?
No, it was joking.
Yeah, but that season... A great season, and then Indiana just...
Collapsed.
Yeah, I just don't know what they were doing.
Yeah, I mean, there were the Atlanta Hawks, similar, but sort of after the All-Star break, wasn't it? Lance didn't get an All-Star game, and then... The pace has kind of collapsed, and then the playoffs.
No one really
got through. They got through against the nothing teams, but then when they went against a good team in the Heat, there were like articles saying, "Is this Pacers team one of the best defensive teams of all time?" And they were phenomenal.
Detroit Pistons.
Mr. Ben Wallace. You had to get him in.
Don't get him started. Another time.
I don't think Roy Hibbert is underrated personally, but I think he's just out of form.
I think people have given up on him more than he's underrated. I think a lot of pressure got put on him, not unfairly, because he's getting paid $15 million.
Everyone thought he was a defensive player of the year, and then everyone expected him to be like a lockdown defender constantly, and he was still,
the pressure of having no Paul George, no Lance Stevenson. George Hill was out at the start of the season, if I remember correctly, so... Roy's had that sort of, you're going to be my go-to guy, you're going to be my number one focus. He's probably gone there like, shit.
Yeah, I'm in a bit of trouble here. Okay, so we all agree on Hibbert.
Yeah.
Mr. Joe Man.
Okay. First one, point guard, Isaiah Thomas. Again, we spoke about it earlier, he didn't win Sixth Man of the Year, which he clearly did just because the Boston Celtics made the playoffs, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know. From where they was, and then push
above the Heat and all these kind of teams,
and the Pacers as well. I mean, I know they have Paul George, they still had a decent team, and George Hill was playing well as well as that. And the fact he does come off the bench and he just brings such, he's one of the better point guards in the league. And I think
draft pick number 60, wasn't he? Second round,
I think it was 59-60. Taking Boston to the seventh seed, they got swept by Cleveland, but
and some of them games are close as well, you know. Another time with a better team around him.
And his contract.
His contract is
peanuts.
It's amazing. It's it's ridiculous how good that contract is.
Mm.
And you've got him for another 3 years?
3 years.
3 years. 3 years. Exactly. So you've got...
And it goes down every year.
Yeah, I think I see he's 26. So you've got... He's in his prime. Like, I mean, because he's...
I think he's going to get smarter as well.
Yeah, it's always going to help. So yeah, I've got Isaiah Thomas at point guard. Shooting guard, JJ Redick. We all know he's a good three-point shooter, but I don't think anyone appreciates how much effort goes to getting them shots. You see him...
A bit like a Kyle Korver, he still gets open even though you know he's going to...
Yeah, and he's just so much running, it's ridiculous. Like, he'll be running around... And he's really good at running around these screens. You'll see it, he's brushing them. Like, he's just so good. And then, yeah, anyway, that's... Just his effort gets underappreciated. We all know he can shoot threes, but then he has games where he can have 20 points. And it's like...
You don't notice it in the box score. You go, oh, Blake got 24, Chris Paul got 17 and 12. He's the last person you want to look at. Yeah, and then the you look score. At JJ Redick and he's got like 19 on, you know, 4 for 7 shooting from threes and a couple of layups. And
but then you'll see that, I mean, the next night, you'll see Blake 24 again, all the same people, and you see JJ with like 7 points, but that's because he hasn't shot the ball.
Yeah.
That's not because he shot badly, which is where I think it's good, he's underrated in the fact that he lets... He isn't an ego.
He's not selfish for his touches.
Yeah, he's definitely.
He knows what he can do.
JJ Redick could get. It's a shame he's getting up there in age because he could fit in a lot of pretty much every team. He could fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small forward in a similar sort of way. Serge Ibaka is when you think of small forwards, Gordon Hayward. You don't really go Gordon Hayward. You know, you've got Kevin Durant, Anthony, LeBron, obviously.
Yeah.
You always think of them guys first. Gordon Hayward.
Paul George as well.
Yeah. Chandler Parsons.
Billy P. Hey, he's a good player.
Yeah, but Hayward, he has got that big contract now we know he's got. But I still think he's not underappreciated, but people don't acknowledge him as much as they could. Just because the Jazz
small maybe
haven't got that, had that playoff push yet. Maybe that's why people ain't concentrating on him just yet. But I'm sure in the next couple of coming seasons he's going to do some good work.
Especially when you've got Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert. And Trey Burke and Dante Exum. And they're not the best point guards, but they're still young. So that could be good.
They're getting a good unit together, chemistry as well.
Yeah.
Hayward's, like, I mean, when he first got that contract, it was literally only him. So his shooting was awful because he was trying to keep the Jazz into games.
Yeah.
Similar to Monte Ellis at the Bucks, he just had to shoot constantly because of that. But when he gets good players around him, he definitely is a good player.
Yeah.
Power forward.
Power forward, I've got Terrence Jones, which is why I'd love to see Josh Smith leave Houston, because I like Terrence Jones, and I don't know why he doesn't get played more.
I don't think McHale does. I mean, I haven't seen plenty of Terrence Jones, but he seems to hustle and get these rebounds and things, but I don't know, McHale doesn't really like him.
Well, I've got some stats. 1.8 blocks a game, 11.7 points per game, and 27 minutes per game. That's pretty good. The playoffs, which, I mean, that's based out of the whole season last season. Obviously, the playoffs, they had Josh Smith, and he only played 23 minutes a game.
It's not really enough. He's a good energy player. Do you agree with that, Terrence Jones?
Terrence Jones, absolutely. I think if he was given more of a bigger role, not just in Houston or on a different team, flourish even more, but again, with the restrictions that he's playing.
Goes to the Mavs. Everyone else is. Well, actually, no one else is.
Other than Jeremy Lin.
Other than Jeremy Lin.
Which is a guarantee.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and at centre, I've got Vukovic.
Yeah, I love Vukovic. Definitely.
I think he's one of the best centres in the league, to be honest.
Defensively, now and again, gets exposed, but offensively, he gets his rebounds, he gets his points, and no one seems to be able to stop him.
Yep.
Where would you place him in the current centres? Like top tier?
Top centres. Same as Serge Ibaka, like 4th, 5th, maybe.
That's high. I think centres is centres a bit weird because everyone's a centre / power forward these days.
No, you get players like Al Jefferson.
He's very underappreciated as well, actually.
Yeah, I think the whole of the Hornets last year. It's disappointing the Hornets last year because it was their first year. Not being the Bobcats. They've got that gorgeous little honeycomb court. New kids, looking trim. They've got Lance Stevenson, a big name, and they just were terrible.
Big name. Do Did you say Lance Stevenson?
It was a big name at the time.
It was a big deal.
He's the weirdo that blows on LeBron's ear.
He nearly got an all-star. He, like people saying about defense player, he is sixth man, and all, even though he was starting most of the time. Most improved, people were saying. He nearly won loads of awards.
And where is he now?
On your team.
Gonna smash it with Doc. Him and, mate, your backcourt, Austin Rivers, Lance Stevenson.
Quality A's.
Don't play Chris Paul anymore. You don't need him. Okay, additional. Any last things that you want to say before we finish?
I want to go on the hype train and say Rondo to Dallas. Or, if Rondo goes to the Kings, I want him to change the team name to Rochester Rondos.
The Rochester
Rondos. I'm sold on that.
Same sort of scenario, but Robin Lopez. Rochester Rolos.
I think... Well, I expect you to say a Jeremy Lin Dallas joke again, but I'm not even going to go there. Okay, right.
On a serious note, Lin to Dallas. It was coming. You set me up for it.
Sorry. No, there was a recent tweet just from Wodge who was saying that LaMarcus has accepted because he felt that the LA's first interview was too glamorous. It was all focused on the Hollywood side of things.
So they want to actually say, correct themselves. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, first thing was just a one-on-one with Jack Nicholson, really.
They want to sort of redeem it. But
LaMarcus, it's interesting that they gave him the time, but, as I say, I'd be very surprised if they get a second interview and do it. If LA allowed second interviews, after the Clippers talked to DeAndre, I want Cuban to go, Jesus, I want another second interview.
That's another 8-hour interview.
Yeah, no, another 8-hour interview. Parsons will take them out for dinner again. They'll go into the pool, have a little swim. It'll be great. Honestly, it's a romantic movie. 1 week in DeAndre. Oh, that sounds wrong. Okay.
Trying to get the pipe. DeAndre.
DeAndre does Dallas.
DeAndre does Dallas.
Come on. Excellent. It was right there, guys. Come on.
That's the episode title. Okay. That's going to be the end of In the Post Free Agency Special. Leave us a comment. Give us a know what you think about it. What you want us to talk about. What you don't want us to talk about. If you want us to shut up entirely. We're on Facebook, In the Post Podcast. We're on Twitter, at In the Pod.
I'm on Twitter.
It's In the Post Pod.
Yes,
At In the Post Pod.
I
designed it. We should have got it right.
All this weird account with loads of time. Why are these people following me? Talking about basketball. He's a baseball fan. I'll be in the pod, isn't he?
You can follow Joe on Twitter. Joe In the Post.
Yes.
And me, Mavs Have It All. We don't have it all no more. Paul Monta going to the Pacers, which you didn't even.
Good move. Good move.
Yeah,
I do like that. Actually.
That's got Paul George and him. Whore. We've got to get his jersey up. We've got to get his jersey up. Get a Monta one. Okay, thank you guys. Take it easy.